Hello, and welcome to part four of my podcast, All About Antarctica. I'm Dr. Steve Emsley, and I'm a professor in the Department of Biology and Marine Biology at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, where I've been teaching an undergraduate class titled Antarctic Ecology, Geology, History, and Policy. In this podcast, I have distilled this class down into numerous parts that cover all these topics about Antarctica. Part four presented here is on sea ice and how it forms, along with polynyas in Antarctica. Sea ice is a major feature of Antarctica and has considerable influence on ocean currents and marine ecology. It is the one component of the physical world that is directly related to biological productivity in the marine environment. Because ocean water has an average salinity of about 35 parts per thousand, seawater will not freeze at 0 degrees Celsius. For sea ice to form, water temperature at that salinity must plunge to minus 1.8 degrees Celsius. Then ice will begin to form, and it follows a particular pattern depending on surface conditions being either calm or rough. In a calm sea, ice crystals of fresh water will begin to congeal and form frazzle ice. It appears as little like small pieces of slush on the ocean surface. Next, the frazzle ice congeals into grease ice. This is a very thin layer of ice crystals that looks like a shiny oil or gas spill on the water, as its name implies. As this thin ice or grease ice thickens, it forms nylas, or sheets of ice that cover the surface and are clearly recognizable as ice. The nylas then start to raft together where they pile up on each other with water movement, eventually congealing into thicker sea ice. The process of sea ice formation in a rough sea is a little different. You first get frazzle ice again, but it congeals with smaller pieces moving and banging into other pieces to form pancake ice. As its name implies, this ice is somewhat circular, with raised edges, from the constant banging into other pieces that help round them out, too. Eventually, the pancake ice rafts together and congeals as well, consolidating into a solid layer of sea ice. In general, sea ice that forms in a calm sea also has a smooth bottom to it, while sea ice formed in rough waters has a rough bottom. Sea ice that forms and melts within 1 year is called annual sea ice, and is usually 10 to 30 centimeters thick. This sea ice is thin enough for most ships with reinforced hulls, including icebreakers, to easily pass through it. Sea ice that lasts more than 1 year, or multi-year ice, can become much thicker as ice continues to congeal on the bottom and snow accumulates on top. This ice can reach 2 to 4 meters thick, and an icebreaker would be needed to get through it, if even then. Other terms related to sea ice include fast ice, or sea ice that connects to land, and drift or pack ice, which is when sea ice breaks up into smaller pieces and moves quickly with the wind. The first explorers sailing to Antarctica needed to know about pack ice and sea ice to plot their courses and avoid getting entrapped in ice, though some did anyway. One trick they used to know was what was ahead of them was to look for ice blink or water sky. When sea ice is present, it reflects more sunlight than open water, giving the sky above it a brighter appearance in the distance, while water sky is above open water and is darker in comparison. So, a ship could alter its course to avoid the area of the ice blink and safely navigate the Southern Ocean. I've seen both ice blink and water sky from ships in the Antarctic, and they really are quite obvious once you know what to look for. When sea ice forms, it also traps marine algae in small pockets in the ice. This algae can actually live and even grow and increase in biomass in the ice, and is why sea ice is an important link to the biological world. Most sea ice forms around Antarctica in winter, so without sunlight, the algae remains dormant in the ice throughout the long Antarctic winter. In spring, the sun comes out and hits the ice, and then the ice acts like a mini greenhouse, and the algae grows inside. All this algae is released back into the ocean when the ice melts in the late spring and summer, infusing the marine environment with food for crustaceans, including Antarctic krill, a keystone species in the Southern Ocean food web that we will discuss later. You can also see this algae in the ice with the naked eye. I've been on ships that are breaking through sea ice, and when pieces turn over, you can often see a greenish or orangish-colored layer that is the algae in the ice. Another component of sea ice related to marine productivity is its extent. Each winter, the amount of sea ice that forms around the continent varies. In some years, heavy ice years, the ice can nearly double the size of the continent. In other light ice years, it will be much less extensive. It varies all the time. Every year in Antarctica is different. With more sea ice, though, there is more algae that is released into the ocean in summer, so heavy ice years mean high marine productivity for crustaceans, fish, and ultimately penguins and seals. Sea ice, when it forms, also changes the water density below. Sea ice is all fresh water that has been siphoned from the ocean surface, except for the briny pockets it captures, so that means the liquid water below has a higher salinity than before. Sea ice is most dense when it is colder and has a higher salinity. Thus, water below sea ice becomes very dense and begins to sink, adding to ocean circulation, called thermohaline circulation in reference to the temperature and salinity. This sinking circulation forms Antarctic bottom water and is a major process in driving global conveyor belt of ocean currents that move slowly across ocean basins and impact continental climates. In summer, when all the ice melts, the surface waters return to their previous lower salinity and the cold waters stay on the surface. These waters flow northward all around Antarctica until they meet warmer waters flowing south. Now, the colder waters are more dense than the warmer, so sink below them at a point called the Antarctic Convergence. This convergence varies in position every year, but it's roughly at 60 degrees south latitude and surrounds Antarctica. Because water temperature will affect the air temperature above it, the warm air above the northern waters will quickly become cold air as you cross this convergence. In voyaging south to Antarctica, you know when you've crossed the convergence by this relatively sudden change in air temperature. Then, you also know you're entering the Antarctic waters of the Southern Ocean. In part 3 of this podcast, I told you about katabatic winds and how they form, sometimes blowing at hurricane force as they move down glaciers and out to sea. These winds also can help form more sea ice. Along the coast, the winds will hit the ocean surface, cooling its temperature further to a point where it reaches the minus 1.8 degrees Celsius needed to start sea ice forming. As new sea ice forms, the winds blow it farther out to sea, and the process starts again. For this reason, the areas of open water surrounded by sea ice, or polynyas, become sea ice factories and add to the extent of sea ice in a particular region. There are two types of polynyas in Antarctica, coastal and open ocean. The coastal polynyas are created by winds off the continent, while the open ocean polynyas are formed when warmer water from below upwells to the surface, keeping an area of ocean ice free. These polynyas are clearly visible in winter when you look at satellite imagery of Antarctica. These polynyas can be quite large, hundreds of kilometers across or much smaller. The polynyas also can be highly productive, with upwelling nutrient-rich water stimulating the food chain, especially in summer. Most Adélie penguin colonies are associated with polynyas, where they find plenty of food for their chicks. This is particularly true in the Ross Sea, where millions of these penguins thrive. In recent decades, the amount of sea ice around Antarctica has declined, and there are fewer heavy ice years than before. This decline, in turn, has impacted marine productivity as well as ocean currents, especially in the Antarctic Peninsula, where the warming trend has been most intense. This is not good news for species of penguins and seals that are adapted to sea ice as part of their habitat. We will discuss those species in more detail later, but climate change is definitely having a major impact on Antarctica, both in the physical and biological worlds. Thank you for listening to my podcast, All About Antarctica. I'm Dr. Steve Emsley of the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and I hope you tune in to Part 4, Ice Cores and Atmospheric Science.